just come up and mention that. Thank you.
Good morning. So First Steps, if you don't know, runs on a Thursday morning between, we get down here at 9 o'clock, set up, and then we welcome people from 10 till 11:30, where we have crafts and we have games and all sorts of toys. And then we have the craft coordinates with the story that Jude tells each week, and then we have singing time. So that's how we set it up, if you don't know. We used to get a lot of children coming. We used to have about 90 on our books at one stage, which was massive and probably too many. But now our numbers are slightly less. We're about 40 at the moment. And so we were just wondering whether you would be able to put some of these flyers in the backs of your cars, just so that if people would see them when they are out and about shopping or whatever they do. So if you'd like one and you could put one in the back of your car, we would be appreciative of that. And also, we'd just love you to pray for us on a Thursday. Just help us to keep going each week. And our main aim really is that our conversations with these people that come along will be go from a surface level of friendship to a deep level of knowing Jesus Christ. So if you could remember us, we would appreciate that. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Well, do grab one of those if you want one, and also think of people you know of who might benefit from that group. So then a couple of things about this evening. So this evening service at 6:30, we're starting a new series. We're going to be in 1 Peter, which I think is packed with lots of relevant things for us. We're starting to look at that this evening. And then after the service, after a short break, it's one of those evenings where we have a praise time of singing in here for about 30 minutes. There we have it. You know already what's going to be sung. People have chosen some songs in advance. So you're very welcome to come this evening, and you're very welcome to stay on for that praise time as well. Good. But we're not going to be leaving the praise until this evening. We are going to be praising this morning as well. And we have 2 songs to have near the start of our service. Both of them acknowledge the highness of Jesus. Both of them contain an attitude of awe and bowing. We're going to sing "Jesus Shall Take the Highest Honor," which we'll sing through twice. And then we're going to sing "King of Kings, Majesty." So shall we stand to sing these songs?
Thank you.
We're carrying on in the book of Isaiah this morning. Mark's looking at chapters 26 and 27 under the title Peace and Longing. Peace and Longing. And we're going to have our Bible reading now. It is Isaiah 26. It will be on the screen. It's also on page 587 if you've got church Bibles and you like to follow it there. Page 587. Maybe one particular verse that you come across in this chapter, which is better known, but so much of it very heartfelt, and we have some further explanation about it later. So Isaiah 26. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. Open the gates that the righteous nation that keeps faith may enter in. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. For he has humbled the inhabitants of the height, the lofty city. He lays it low, lays it to the ground, casts it to the dust. The foot tramples it, the feet of the poor, the steps of the needy. The path of the righteous is level. You make level the way of the righteous. In the path of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. For when your judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the world learn righteousness. If favor is shown to the wicked, he does not learn righteousness. In the land of uprightness, he deals corruptly and does not see the majesty of the Lord. O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. Let them see your zeal for your people and be ashamed. Let the fire of your adversaries consume them. O Lord, you will ordain peace for us, for you have indeed done for us all our works. O Lord, our God, other lords beside you have ruled over us, but your name alone we bring to remembrance. They are dead. They will not live. They are shades. They will not arise. To that end, you have visited them with destruction and wiped out all remembrance of them. But you have increased the nation, O Lord. You have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have enlarged all the borders of the land. O Lord, in distress they sought you. They poured out a whispered prayer when your discipline was upon them, like a pregnant woman who writhes and cries out in her pangs when she is near to giving birth. So were we because of you, O Lord. We were pregnant, we writhed, but we have given birth to wind. We have accomplished no deliverance in the earth. And in the inhabitants of the world, and the inhabitants of the world have not fallen. Your dead shall live, their bodies shall rise. You who dwell in the dust, awake and sing for joy, for your dew is a dew of light, and the earth will give birth to the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the fury has passed by. For behold, the Lord is coming out from his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. And the earth will disclose the bloodshed on it and will no more cover its slain. Well, we're going to sing together our next hymn. O Lord, my rock and my redeemer, greatest treasure of my longing soul. And then after this, the children can come up the front for the children's talk.
Turn this on. Oh, that sounds about right. Well, good to see you all. Now, I'm going to need your help. Because I want you to help me work out one of the most important things that God tells us to do. There's lots of important things we're told to do, aren't there? But I want you to try and help me work out what this really important thing that God tells us to do is. And I've got some picture clues. So, what's this boy doing? What do you think he's doing?
Running.
Running, great. Anyone think anything else about his running? Is he running a race? What do you think? Yeah? He's running to God. Now, that's a really good guess. Do you think he looks like he's running towards someone? Yeah? He's running away from someone. That's what the picture's meant to show. So this boy's running away. Now, what about this next picture? What do you think that one's saying? What's that saying? go down. That's a good guess. If you were driving along, yeah? Turn around. So this is a sign turning around. Now, here's my next one. What do you think would happen here if you didn't turn round? Yeah. The car would go off the cliff, you're right. Can you imagine driving down there, going down that hill? I think there'll be one or two people in our car asking me to go a little bit slower. And if you don't turn round, you're right, it's a disaster. Now, here's a really hard question for you. Really hard question. And you might not be able to do it, so I wonder. Actually, I'm not going to ask you to call out the answer, but just let me know if you think you know the answer. So what do you think the word I'm thinking about is? Has anyone got any ideas? You've got an idea, great. Anyone else? One or two? Well, let me tell you what the word is, and you can see whether you've got the right answer. The Bible words repent. It's something that Jesus tells people to do. It's something the early Christians told people to do. And it means to turn around, to turn back. So I don't know if you got it right or not. But that's the word that I want you to think about. It's probably... I was thinking about it. I reckon it's one of the most important words that God tells us to do. And I want to tell you a story, or a bit of a story, that Jesus told. You might recognize this story. It's about a young boy, a bit older than this boy here. And he decided that he wanted everything that his dad was going to give him when he died. And he ran away from home and he took all that his dad had given him and he wasted it. In the end, he got to a really bad place. It was a bit like this cliff. He got to a really bad place where he had to make he didn't really know what to do because he'd run out of money, run out of friends, run out of foods. And the only job he could get was feeding pigs. And he was so hungry, he'd have wanted to eat the pig food. And sometimes people can get to a state where life's gone so bad, they realise that they're just on the edge of the cliff. And so, what did he do? There we go. He turned round. He said, I'm not going to try and go round the bend and go my own way or risk going off the cliff. I'm going to turn round and go back to my dad. I'm going to say to him, I'm really sorry. I don't deserve to be welcomed into your house. Let me be one of your servants and at least I'll have some food to eat. This story has a really happy ending. See what's happening there? The father's running towards the son. The son who's let him down, who's taken all his stuff, who's lived a bad life. And he's welcomed him back in. And he has a big feast for him and he welcomes him. So when God calls us to turn round and turn back to him, that's what the repent word means. It's so that we can be welcomed, whatever we are, whatever we've done. So I reckon it's the most important thing that God tells us to do. So worth thinking about, isn't it? So you know what repent means? It means to turn round and run back to God. The big question is, are we going to do that? Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you. Well, it's a time of change this time of year, as we've been reminded in previous Sundays. Time of coming and going for some. Some heading off to uni around now, so we'll be remembering them. And thinking of universities this evening as well, another thing that's going to be part of the evening service is Beth Russell's just going to mention some prayer points about the situation of her university and Christian Union where she goes to. So that's another aspect of tonight. Well, we come to our time of prayer now, and I wanted to read... I don't know if you know, there's a Bible link to the start of that song we sang, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I wanted to read that verse. It's at the end of Psalm 19 as a sort of launch pad for our prayer. So let me read that and lead us in prayer. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. O Lord, we come to you and we want to come in sincerity, and we want our words to be acceptable and not hypocritical. Help us, Lord, to pray in worship and in faith and in genuineness. We come to you as our rock and our redeemer. Lord, we sung of delight in you, that you truly satisfy. We sung of your overflowing grace and your unquenchable love. We sang about your truth and your wisdom, and we come in praise of these aspects of your character. We thought about the refuge of your faithfulness as our rock, the way in which you strengthen us in our weakness, the way in which you give joy in trials. Lord, we come to you as a wonderful and awesome God, and we want to praise you. And you have been so kind and full of grace to so many of us. We can say that you have come to us in our ruined life, and you have rescued us and blessed us. And we praise you for your wonderful mercy. We come to you, Lord, realizing the unsettledness there seems to be in our current situation amongst nations, within nations, so much that troubles us and unsettles us that we hear in the news. We come mindful of the sad assassination there's been in America during this last week, which has disturbed many. Lord, we pray for those linked closely with that loss, the grieving family, and the many onlookers that were at the event or have been troubled by it since. Lord, we know that events like this and views held are full of political strength and political reaction. But we also know that amongst the things that have been said in the build-up and what's happened, there have been words of faith that have pointed to Jesus, that have valued your word, that have looked to further your principles. And we really pray that through the shockingness, the sadness, all the debate that occurs as a result of events like this, that Jesus may be better known, that his word may be appreciated, that people may come to know of his love. And we do pray, Lord, that debate and political views may be carried out with peace and harmony, and that we ourselves in our views may be respectful and peaceful and harmonious too. Lord, we would love your word to spread We would love the values in your word to be better known. We are sad at many of the developments in our Western world at this time, and we pray for truth and justice and wisdom to prevail. And we pray for peace, which furthers the furtherance of the gospel. May your word have free course and be glorified, we pray. Lord, we come to you remembering that in your word you often remember the islands. In fact, you do in Isaiah talk of the islands, the isles, the coastlands. We think of the island of Cyprus, where we have a special interest, and we pray for James and for Rachel, for the church there, at this time of pressure, that you would strengthen them, add to them, equip them, give them further leaders, bless the work that they're involved with. We do also remember Kefalonia, with Derek having gone back to Kefalonia for a short stay, and him and Pam thinking of returning for a time over the coming months. We commit that island to you. We pray that the special outreach opportunities have been these last few days may lead to people knowing of Jesus in those places. We think of the country of tremendous islands, of the Philippines, thousands of islands. And we think of Reuben and Kathy, who we have a link with there. We thank you for the church plant being established, for the growth in membership, for people being added. We thank you for the effect and training of other ministers that occurs through that work. We pray, Lord, that you might strengthen them, add to them, and you might shine a light of the gospel in the region where they are teaching. Heavenly Father, we thought of the younger ones here in our own church life. We thank you for those who've come along and do come along to First Steps, and we pray that that might be continue to be a really blessed work. We thank you for the love and concern and diligence of the leadership team. We thank you for all those who work as well to support Thrive, for the encouragement of some extras in Thrive at the start of this new year, this new academic year. We pray that you'll bless and encourage those who are involved with that. Help the teachers, bless the children, make the work useful, we pray. And we remember as well those heading off at this time of year who have gone, who are going for the first time or returning back to college. Lord, do help them to put you first. Do help them to settle well. Do help them to feel a sense of belonging. Help them to learn good things and to be discerning. Help them to be an influence for good on others. We pray for those going away at this time. And Lord, we pray for ourselves. We want to be malleable. We want to be soft before you. We want to be moulded by your word. And as your word is opened up this morning, we do pray that you would open our hearts, that you would incline our ears towards your truth, that you would unite our heart to fear your name and to love your truth. We pray for Mark as he brings your word before us. Do help him as he presents it to us. We pray for your Spirit's work in him, but especially we pray for your Spirit's work in us as we receive your word, that may be a blessing to us and bring glory to your name. And all these things we ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our next song is based on a psalm. It's based on Psalm 122, and it reflects somebody's love for being at a place of worship, being able to be with others who worship God. So with that sense of anticipation and delight, hopefully we can sing this version of that psalm. How pleased and blessed was I to hear the people cry, come let us seek our God today. And then afterwards Mark is going to come up to preach.
Thank you. morning once again. We're in Isaiah again, Isaiah 26 and 27. Certainly not covering anything, but hopefully getting a flavour of what's here. Peace and longing. Peace and longing. You know, it's been my prayer this week as I've been thinking about these two chapters, that as we go away from this place and as we carry on in our lives, that we will be feeling these two things more and more. Peace and a sense of longing. If you were here last week, we looked at Isaiah 24 and 25. And Isaiah 24 was not an easy read. It was not a nice read. It was about God's judgment on the whole earth. God destroying the whole earth. And why? Because of the curse that was upon it because of humankind's sin. And so God destroys it, it's contaminated, and yet we get to Isaiah 25 and it's much brighter. In Isaiah 25, we see this new creation that God is going to make that is not contaminated by sin, where there is a feast and where there is fellowship and where there is life eternal because the veil of death has been taken away. And last week, it was all about the future. It was all about that last day and beyond, looking forward to that. Well, in chapters 26 and 27, there is some of that as well. There is some looking to the future, but it's very much about the here and now as well. I hope this really helps us in the here and now, in today, as we think about all these things. And we need God's word to help us with these things as we look at the world around us today, don't we? As John prayed, the turmoil around the world that we've seen this week, but just every day in the news, there's just so much. And what do we do when we see all this? Do we get more and more anxious? Or do we maybe get more fired up? Do we sort of take on the burden of the world and sort of think, well, I'm going to do something about this, I'm going to sort this out? Or maybe the opposite, maybe we just feel completely hopeless with everything going on and we just think, well, what can you do? The world feels very unsettled in many ways, doesn't it? I've heard so many people say that this week. Well, it was certainly a very unsettled and uncertain world in Isaiah's day. The menace of the Assyrian army was looming large over God's people. It hung like a sort of black cloud over them. They were attacking the nations around them, and they were not a nice nation to be next to. And yet, what does Isaiah say that God can do for them? And what does Isaiah say that God can do for us? He says he can keep us in perfect peace. He can keep us, and he could keep them back then, in perfect peace. Oh, so I'd already done that. Each summer, we often have a camp and we have a take-home booklet, and quite often we get asked, what's your sort of favourite Bible verse, if we're allowed that, or what's a verse that you would choose? And quite often, I didn't actually do this last year, but quite often I choose Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. Those verses have been very special to me at different parts of my life, different times I've been able to read those and really use it as a foundation, really. God is able to keep us in perfect peace. And that's an amazing thing, isn't it? Because even when the world is relatively stable, even so when it's at its best, there are still so many personal things in our lives, aren't there, that steal our peace. There may be things like financial stress or relationship issues or just work stress or health issues or grief or trauma or loneliness for some people, maybe sin. Maybe for some people, a lack of purpose. These things can steal away the peace in our our lives. And maybe as you listen to some of those, you think, well, yeah, I've actually experienced one of those. Maybe some of you are here this morning and you're thinking, I'm experiencing one or more of those right now. And maybe some of you think, well, those just seem to be throughout my life, to be honest, most of those. And maybe finding peace is really difficult. And yet God promises that he can keep us in perfect peace. Now, I've shared some of this with you before because I actually preached on these verses last year. Some of you may remember that. So forgive me if you've heard this, but I know some of you won't have done. And of course, this is the English translation is perfect peace. And in the Hebrew, it's this shalom. Many of us know that word from primary school, some of the songs. Shalom. And this shalom doesn't just mean a lack of war. It doesn't just mean that there's no conflict going on. It's not that sort of peace. It's this feeling of being blessed by God and knowing that all is well because of our relationship with him. It's a feeling of blessing, of wholeness, of joy, of serenity, of quietness, completeness. That's the sort of the sense of shalom here. And it's something that we can experience even in the midst of chaos around us. We can experience shalom when everything's going crazy around us. And in the Hebrew, it doesn't say perfect peace. It says shalom, shalom. Peace, peace. One piece wasn't enough. We get a double portion. This is what God blesses us with. Not just a bit of peace, but a double portion. Plenty for us. Shalom, shalom. And we're not left in the dark about how we can know this peace and how we can be kept in it. We're told in verse 3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You know, the only way we can know this true peace is to have our minds focused on God. And more than that, trusting in him. That's what these verses are saying. Keep your eyes on God. It's so easy, isn't it, to think, oh, well, that's easy. And yet we so quickly take our eyes off God. Or at least I do. I know these verses well. I love them. They're some of my favourites. And yet so quickly in life, I take my eyes off God and I focus on the problem or the issue or whatever's bothering me. We need to keep our eyes on God, the one who's in control of things, the one who knows what we need, the one who can provide exactly what we need, the one who helps us every day. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. In these verses, a bit further on, Isaiah talks about, well, actually, the first couple of verses, sorry, Isaiah talks about a strong city. A strong city. In Isaiah's day, cities were seen as places of safety and refuge. If an army came, they would go into the cities. And from what we've read already in Isaiah previously, you might remember that some of them went to other cities of people that should not have been their allies, and yet they made them allies and they went there seeking refuge. And some of them stayed in Jerusalem. Some of the people of Judah, they stayed in Jerusalem, trusting that that would keep them safe. And yet what happens? All these cities get utterly destroyed. And even the Assyrian city, in time, that too gets destroyed. God pulls down the lofty cities. But there is one city that does not get pulled down. One city that no army can ever attack and destroy. It's God's city. Chapter 26, verses 1 and 2. In that day, this song will be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as walls and bulwarks. So that's just verse 1. Instead of fleeing to allies that they shouldn't have gone to, instead of trusting it in their own sort of protection, what they should have done is they should have run to God. And they would have been safer in God's protection than any brick or mortar or any city wall could do. They would have been safer if they had trusted in God as he told them to. You know, it's the same for us, that God is a place of refuge and safety for us to go to. If we are safe in God, then there is nothing that can truly harm us. You know, even death is just like a door that takes us into his presence. You know, it's a place that is so safe that even when God destroys the world, as he's promised he will do, we are kept safe in that city. That is the place of refuge. It's a place of safety, and it's a place of peace in God. Go to God. And you know the beauty of this is that it talks about the city gates being wide open. They're wide open. You can go in. You can go in. What do you have to do? Trust in the Lord Jesus. Ask him to take away your sins. And what does he do? He makes us righteous. He makes us righteous so that we are welcomed in to the city. So here's the lesson I think comes out of this really, is that true peace doesn't come from calm or happy circumstances in life, nice as they are. True peace comes from knowing that we are safe in the city of God. And that as God, he has all things under his control. That he is sovereign. That nothing can harm us unless he permits it. And that nothing can take away our eternal and glorious future that we have because of Jesus. That future that we thought about last week. And I think we'll be thinking about this a little bit more this evening as we look at 1 Peter 1. I haven't heard what John's going to say. But we'll be thinking about people of hope. True peace in life doesn't come from calm or happy circumstances. You'll keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. So what can you do to keep your mind stayed on God? What can you do? Because don't expect to feel peace if you're never thinking about God. You know, if you're filling your minds with all these other things all the time, don't expect to feel a real sense of peace. So what can we do to help us in this? Well, some of these things are things that many of you will have heard lots of times, but they're so important. Spend time in God's word regularly. Spend time listening to what he's saying. We spend so much time, don't we, listening to everyone around us. Well, listen to what God's saying. Spend time in his word. Chat to people, and don't just chat to them, chat to them about God's kingdom. Remind each other of what God is like. Remind each other of how firm his kingdom is, that nothing can shake it, and what a glorious future you have. On your drive or walk to school, or when you're doing the cleaning in the house or whatever it is, maybe pray or think about these things. Just meditate on the future that we have as Christians. Listening to Christian songs can be a great way of being reminded of the truth of what God says to us and some of his promises. And sometimes Christian songs just have that way, don't they, of stirring you up in a way that maybe other things don't, in a good way. Of course, you can pray to God as well. Doesn't that help when we see the world around us and we think, well, what can I do? We can speak to God. We can place all our worries and concerns, and maybe our angers as well, place it all into his hands. I know some of you do things like having verses up by your sink if you're doing the washing up, or just somewhere prominent in the house. So you've got like a little whiteboard and you just write on it. Well, Isaiah 26, 3 and 4, I know they're some of my favourite verses, but I do recommend them. They would be great verses to have in your house or somewhere around. You can just reflect on these things as you think about the world that we live in. It's not easy to keep doing those things. It's not easy to keep doing it, but they are so good for us. Find your peace in the knowledge that you are safe in the strong city of God. And it's amazing that we can have this peace, but don't you long for others to have it too? And don't you long for the whole world to be at peace? Is that not what we long for? Well, there's some longing in these chapters. In Isaiah 26, they're longing for something. Verse 8 and 9, in the paths of your judgments, O Lord, we wait for you. Your name and remembrance are the desire of our soul. My soul yearns for you in the night. My spirit within me earnestly seeks you. You probably haven't used the word yearn for a while, but you get the feeling, don't you? It yearns for God. What are they longing for? Well, they're longing for God, but they're longing for God to be glorified. And elsewhere we see that they're longing for God to come and deal with evil, so that God's name is magnified again, and so that people live in accordance with his will to bring his kingdom to earth. For too long, people have dragged God's name through the mud. So this is just verses 10 and 11. Verse 10, I'm just going to read from the NIV just because it's a bit simpler. It says, but when grace is shown to the wicked, they do not learn righteousness. Even in the land of uprightness, they go on doing evil and do not regard the majesty of the Lord. And in verse 11 says, O Lord, your hand is lifted up, but they do not see it. You see what's going on? It is these people just are completely blind to God. They have no regard for God's majesty or glory whatsoever. Their lives are just so corrupt and violent. And it grieves those who love God. It grieves them that people are living this way. I just want to ask you some questions this morning just to quickly think about. Firstly, do you meet people during the week that know much about God, and especially the God of the Bible that we're talking about? Do you meet people that know much about God? I suspect there's many that don't know much at all. Do those people or do other people around you have a care for God and for his glory? Do they care about his name at all? What about you? Do you passionately care about God's name? Do you long for him to be glorified and lifted up as he should be in the world? Does it grieve you when people drag his name through the mud, or when they seek to banish him from society or banish him from schools? Can you honestly say that it grieves you when you see the sin in the world around us? Is there a sense of longing in you that just says, oh God, please deal with this? It should do. And it should do to me more too. But evil will be dealt with. And this is also what they are longing for. They're longing for evil to be dealt with. And 27 verse 1, Isaiah 27 verse 1 gives us an incredible picture and an incredible promise. We meet Leviathan, who is also known as the chaos monster. But as well as meeting the chaos monster Leviathan, we also meet the Lord with a sword. Let me read 27 verse 1. In that day, the Lord with his hard and great and strong sword will punish Leviathan, the fleeing serpent, Leviathan, the twisting serpent, and he will slay the dragon that is in the sea. Isaiah uses this picture of Leviathan to describe the evil forces in the world. And it seems to me that a writhing, twisting serpent thrashing around in the sea, in a rough sea, is a pretty good image for evil, isn't it? So hard to control. So hard to be defeated, beyond our capabilities, but not too much for God, who hacks away at it with his sword until it is defeated and utterly crushed. I love this picture of just God conquering evil, the warrior God who comes and crushes the chaos monster. Now, one day, evil will be totally annihilated. It will be destroyed. On that last day, God will destroy evil. But, you know, in a sense, he has already won. In a sense, he's already had the victory. Where? Well, funnily enough, when he seemed his weakest, when Jesus was on the cross, when people were mocking him for how incredibly weak he was and for how he had lost and for his humiliation. And yet what do we find out in Colossians? That he triumphed over the powers and authorities. That he triumphs over the chaos monster. We know that he crushes the serpent's head. It was on the cross that Jesus crushes evil. And is this not good news? Is this not exciting? That yes, there is evil today, but it is on a leash. It does not reign free. That Jesus has already won victory over it. That its days are numbered. And that God will thoroughly crush it one day. He will wipe it out. Just imagine how different the news would have been this year, over the last few months, if there was no evil. Imagine how different the news stories would be. God's kingdom is something we should long for. Oh God, deal with evil, we pray. And in the meantime, as we wait for that day, we need to do all that we can with God's help to bring God's kingdom to earth. We don't just sit around, we say, well, what can we do to bring God's kingdom to earth? And we see, well, what else is longed for in these chapters? Well, for evil to be dealt with, but more than that, for the world to be filled with fruit. It seems a bit strange, doesn't it? Imagine a world filled with fruit. It'd be a pretty amazing harvest service, wouldn't it? But this is not talking about apples and oranges and pears. This is picture language. We're looking now at chapter 27, verses 2 to 6. 27 verses 2 to 6. And it's picture language. And we're back in a vineyard. Now, if you were here quite a while ago, I don't know the exact date, but if you were here quite a while ago and you've got a good memory, you may remember John preaching from Isaiah 5 about a vineyard, another vineyard. And we saw in that vineyard that God really cared for it. God did everything he could for this vineyard, and he built a watchtower and he did the walls and everything. And it was a picture of what God had done for his people. He rescued them out of slavery. He did so many kind things. He provided food for them. He was like a loving gardener caring for his vineyard in how he cared for his people. And yet it says, when he went to the vineyard, what fruit did he find? Well, it was all bad. All of it was bad. And so what does he do? Well, he leaves the vineyard and it becomes abandoned. And what was it a picture of? Well, it was a picture of God's people who did not bear good fruit, who did not do good works, but instead did evil acts. That they were bad fruit. They were nothing like God. And yet here in verses 2 to 6, we have a new vineyard. And again, we see that God lovingly cares for it. He tends it. He does everything for it. He sort of says, I'm its keeper. You get the sense of him being this loving gardener. But this time, the results for this vineyard are very different. Listen to what it says in verse 6. In days to come, Jacob shall take root. Israel shall blossom and put forth shoots and fill the whole world with fruit. But what's the difference? What's the difference between these two vineyards, the one that was just bad fruit and the one that was good fruit? Well, the answer is Jesus. Remember what Jesus says when he says, I am the true vine? This is the sort of thing he's thinking of. He's thinking back to this passage and he says, I am the true vine. He is the only one that is capable of bearing good fruit. He is the only one of doing things that are truly pleasing to his Father. He is the only one that is righteous. None of us have been able to manage that. All of our fruit is bad if it's just us. And yet, what does he go on to say when he says, I am the vine? He says, I am the vine, and you, we, are the branches. And as the branches, what can we then do if we're connected to him? We can bear fruit, and not just a little bit of fruit, lots of it. When we are connected to Jesus, suddenly we can bear good fruit. Without Jesus, we cannot please God. Our good works are like filthy rags or bad fruit, as this is talking about. And yet when we are connected to Jesus, we can do good works for him, works that please the Father, works that bring the kingdom of God into this world, that show people what it is like. And this fruit will one day fill the whole world. We look forward, don't we, to the day when this is truly fulfilled in glory, in the new creation, when fruit will truly fill the world. That's the day we look forward to. When everyone is righteous and everyone is happier than they could ever be in God's presence. We long for that day. But in the meantime, what is our mission? Well, our mission is to fill the earth with fruit. To fill the world with fruit. And the fact there's a worldwide church today tells us that some of this has happened. That there has been fruit that has spread out throughout the world, but it's not filled as much as we would like, is it? Don't we long for it to be filled more and more? We long for it to be filled with Christians doing everything they can to make this world more like the kingdom of God. To make it a place where the weak and the vulnerable are cared for by the strong and the more able. To make it a place where everyone feels genuinely loved with that deep love of Jesus. To make it a place where people worship Jesus as Lord. And where they don't ignore him, they don't blaspheme him. Instead, they lift his name up in praise to him as he deserves. A world where many hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ and they say, I'm going to follow Jesus. And they take up their cross and they deny themselves and they follow Jesus. A world where there is peace, even in the chaos and the suffering of life. Because they are a people who have their minds stayed on God. Is that not what we long for as we wait for God's kingdom? As we wait for the glorious future, yet now we are called to go out as the church and to tell people the good news and to share the light of Jesus and the fruits of Jesus with the world around us. Well, let's just have a moment as we finish just to reflect. And maybe you can think about the peace in your own heart or mind. And maybe that's something that you really need to think about. And praise God that you can have peace. Or maybe for you, think, actually, I'm going to spend just a moment thinking about the peace in the world and how we can bring peace into this world through Jesus. Well, we're going to sing. No prizes for guessing why I've chosen it. I think I chose it again when I talked on these couple of verses last year. But it's so good for us to think about this perfect peace. So let's stand and let's sing together.
Thank you.
Lord God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you that you are the sovereign God, and we thank you for sending your Son to die on the cross in agony, but to triumph over evil for us. And I pray that that's something that would excite us. And I pray, Lord, that we may be people who know that perfect peace. And I pray that we may also be a people that long for your kingdom to come and long for your name to be glorified. And as we wait, Lord, that we would do what we can for your glory and your honor and for the blessing of your people. So, Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.